All right, here we are, my friends. We are gathered here to anticipate. This is the time of anticipation as we look forward to the coming of Jesus. He's going to be born, a little baby in a manger, but we're not supposed to know that part of the story yet. It's one of those things that since we've been through this so many times, we know we like to jump right to the end of the story. But this season is all about the anticipation, the looking forward, the wondering what God is going to do. We've all had those times in life, right? When you have a new baby and you look into the little eyes and you wonder, what is God going to do with this one? We anticipate and we look forward and we can't wait to see what God is going to do. Well, that's what we're doing today. And so let us begin. Remembering the day that we were brought into the family of God and the amazing gift of baptism made his divine children. So let us begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this season, this time that we get to focus on you, Lord, and the promises that you made throughout time in the Old Testament. Lord, I pray that you would help us and fill us with that anticipation as we look forward to the celebration of your first coming, Lord, but also as we remember your second coming, Lord, the day when you will come and make all things new. Lord, we pray that you would continue to grow us in faith and in knowledge of you, Lord. As we continue to grow closer to you, help us, Lord, to understand you better and to love you more every day. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy. Seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For scripture reading for tonight is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But an angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom shall have no end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born to you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So often today, we as Americans live with ourselves as the hero in the story. We're the main character. We're the one that matters. And everybody else is just acting around us. And this kind of leaks into our lives. We notice it especially when driving, you know, when the other people around us are either good or bad drivers depending upon how they're affecting us, right? You know what I'm saying? And this kind of thing is like, social media did not help with this at all, you know, where people are posting everything and they literally on their stage, it looks like they are the main character in their own story. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed about this text today is this. That was not Mary's outlook. God came into Mary's life this day, and the angel's message to her was an extremely intense imposition into her life. You know? I mean, God put a great spin on it. Mary, you are highly favored. You know what I'm saying? Now let me tell you how I'm going to mess up your life, right? I mean, in that time and in that place, to have a woman be pregnant without being married, not great. But you know, the thing is that the only objection that Mary gave the angel wasn't an objection about why me. Or why does it, you know, why does it have to be done this way? Or why does it have, you know, none of those kinds of things. It has to, all it had to do with was, how is this going to happen? Because this is, and I can kind of spot her that, because she's trying to absorb a very large message coming at her, you know? Because it wasn't just, you're going to have a baby. I mean, it was all the stuff that went with it, right? You will conceive, give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. There's a lot in that, you know? And that there's poor Mary just trying to even get a grip on all the things that God was asking of her. And her answer was the most wonderfully beautiful example for us. She just simply spoke the truth. I'm your servant. Let it be. I have to say, I whine more than that. You know? I mean, when God gives me a job to do and I know it's got to be done and I know that he wants me to do it, and it's not going to be pleasant because I know it's not going to be pleasant because I've done it before, I'll do it under protest, right? I'll do it, but I'll complain. You know, it's like the infantrymen, their God-given right to complain. You know, it's we cling to that right to complain almost, and that's not really the attitude our God wants us to have. You know, when he gives us a task to do, we aren't the center of the story. If you look at this, what the angel is saying to Mary, you know, I mean, there is stuff in there about Mary. You got a really good, a cool job to do. You're going to be most favored, you know, all this kind of stuff. There's some cool stuff in there about that. But Mary is not the center of the story. Mary is the mother of the one who is the center of the story, right? And even Jesus wouldn't say that he was the center of the story. He always says, I'm just doing the Father's will, right? I mean, you see, and for us, this is something we get to work on. Because God does give us jobs to do. I mean, some of the jobs are written in black and white, right? You know, like loving your children, even when they're not lovable. And we all know this. Right? You know, and to love your spouse, even when they're not lovable, and we all know this, right? And, you know, to love your neighbor, both of them, both sides, right? Even the one across the street, all of them, you know, and who is our neighbor? Anybody around you who needs something. Well, that makes it even more annoying, right? I mean, here's the thing, is that God's telling us, look, I've got work for you to do in the world. And you guys all know that feeling, too, when God is nudging you in a direction, right? You know, you walk into a room and there's somebody over there, and for some reason they're standing there alone, and usually the reason is fairly obvious. And God says, go talk to them. And you're like, really? Why me? Right? And the thing is this. It's a lot harder to follow God's plan. It's a lot harder to follow God's direction when we're trying to be the center of our own story. Because we're just not. The story is Him. The story is His salvation. The story is the message that we get to carry. The story is the love that we get to share. The story is that our God has filled us so much with blessing and love and all the things that we need, that we are literally overflowing with resources and time and love and stuff for the people around us. And this is the job that God is sending us to do, to get out in the world and to share that love, not to hoard it and keep it to ourselves and just enjoy it and not let anybody touch my precious, right? And so this is the challenge that we have today is this. Our job is this. We have been redeemed. Our Jesus has come. He has died on that cross. He rose again from the dead. He killed our sin and rose again to give us new life. In this baptism that we remembered at the beginning of our service, we received a new life in Him, and our role is to live that new life out every day in our lives, that we belong to Him because we were baptized into Him. He redeemed us with His blood and bought us. We are His. Mary spoke truth. We are God's servants. That is our place, and the story is His story, and the action that's happening in the world today that matters is the things that He is doing in the world, and He takes us along on the ride and gives us little jobs to do along the way, things that will forward His work in this world, and when we get the opportunity to do it, it's not drudgery. It's not something to regret. It's not something to resent. It's something to cherish and love and glory in. When I was a kid, my dad would work on cars, and now he was never good at working on cars. All right. I'm not telling stories, nothing that he wouldn't say. My dad, working on cars requires patience. Because otherwise everything becomes a hammer and things get broken, right? Okay, and so the thing is this, but I always loved to work on cars with my dad. It's why I started working on them and stuff. And the thing is that it didn't matter what we were doing because I was working with dad. I mean, the car was nice, or the bike, or the house, or whatever it is we were working on, but the glory of it was I was working with dad. When God calls us into ministry, when He calls us into a task, even tasks that aren't so pretty, even if the task is just cleaning up somebody else's mess, it's not something to resent or to avoid because it's working with that. It's the Father's plan. The same Father that Jesus followed. Jesus did not have easy tasks either. Right? I mean, being mistreated and spoken badly about his entire life and verbally attacked and then finally tried and crucified, his tasks were hard, but he followed the Father's plan. And because he followed the Father's plan, we get to too. And this is the beauty of this thing. As we're heading into Christmas, we're going to have a lot of, there's going to be a lot of stressed people in the world, right? There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be emotionally uncertain or upset, you know, plans that aren't going to work out, family they're not going to be able to be with, whatever is going to be happening, whatever is going to come. Look for the opportunities to be God's voice. Look for the opportunities to carry His love and His message, His grace, His gospel, to just listen to somebody and pray with them. Look for the opportunity. to work with a dad. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you and we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us your children and brought us into this incredible relationship with you where forgiveness is free. And Lord, we thank you that you have also called us into your work, that there's all these things to do in this world, all of these people to love and to care for. Help us, Lord, to have our eyes open, to be able to see the opportunities as they are presented to us, Lord, and give us the courage and the faithfulness, Lord, to walk into them, trusting that you will give us the words to say. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, then let's stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, this day that we get to walk out our faith in you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, see you more clearly, enrich our faith, and help us to be able to trust in you, Lord, so that we can have peace in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the families and children of our congregation, Lord. These children, these little ones are just so precious to you, Lord. I pray that you would give us all opportunities to continue to teach them, Lord, about you, about the things you have done on this earth, Lord, the way you have interacted with your people, the way you are still interacting with your people today, and how you help us every day. Help us to teach them, Lord, how important you are to us so that they can see how important you can be for them. Thank you, Lord, for all that. Lord, I pray that you would continue to just be with everybody who's traveling and running all over the place. And I pray for all the crazy, busy people who are getting ready for this holiday season. Lord, I pray that you would be their peace, that you would be their comfort, that you would give them opportunities, Lord, to slow down and to be able to just be able to really understand and grow in the incredible peace that you have provided for them. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to draw all people to yourself so that more people can be saved. Thank you, Lord, for just continuing to be with everybody, Lord, as they struggle with different health problems, Lord, the aches and pains of aging, Lord, and to the things that need surgical intervention or medical intervention. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give us all strength. And also, Lord, that we would in this season of anticipation, Lord, also anticipate the day that you're going to make all things new when all the aches and pains are gone. All this we pray in your holy name, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Having received this very... Now that we've finished our service, our God has met us here. The God that we are anticipating his arrival, he is here with us today. He came in his body and his blood. He came in his word. He came in the benediction. He came in the in the absolution. He's been here, and it's impossible to be in the presence of our God and not be changed. And so as our God has blessed us this evening, depart in his name. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. All right, my friends, thank you for being here tonight. I love worshiping with you folks. And we're heading into the rest of Advent. Next Wednesday night is not going to be a service like this. It's going to be the children's Christmas program, K through 8. It's all happened in the country. Starts at 6, and there's no meal. Okay, so with the kids, they don't feed you. That's just the way that works. But nevertheless, it is really going to be a fun time. It's a lot of fun to watch them practice. Speaking of which, if you don't want to come later in the evening like that, their dress rehearsal starts at 9 on Wednesday. And that's a hoot, watching them as the teachers frenetically try to get them ready for that evening. It's a great time. No, but that's another opportunity they have. If you want to come in and watch the dress rehearsal at 9, it'll be a lot less crowded, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot of fun. I love watching the dress rehearsal. So anyway, and then, of course, then the 18th, we have another service like this, all right? And for those of you who don't want to drive in the dark, we also have the service at 11 o'clock earlier today. So there's that. Any questions? This is my fourth service today. I'm tired. Yeah, we had chapel, then the 11 o'clock, then the 5 o'clock with the children, and then this. So yeah, it's been a long day. But guys, I love it. You guys are amazing people, and we all serve an amazing God. So God's blessings as you celebrate your Advent together in anticipation of the coming King. Amen? Amen. Amen.